Hello and welcome to the America Magazine podcast. I'm very pleased to be joined today by two guests, Deacon Jim Nipper and Brother Mickey McGrath. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
We'll bring in Brother Mickey later in the conversation, but we'll start with Deacon Nipper. We're going to talk a bit about this venture that you've been taking part in, that you've produced. This latest one is called Naked and You Clothed Me, Homilies and Reflections for Cycle A. Maybe you could just tell us about the project and how it came about.
Sure. Thanks very much. Project started a couple years ago when I've had always a passion for homiletics and good preaching. I've been blessed growing up having great preachers like Father Bill Bausch and Monsignor Nolan in Princeton. So after I was ordained in 2008, took a look at how could I put a compilation together of some great homilies. Originally was going to just do a compilation of Monsignor Nolan's homilies. And after he said no about five times, I said, how can I expand this? And at that time, I was traveling with Father Richard Rohr as attaché and got to meet a number of great people, including Jim Martin and Rob Bell and people as such. So I came up with this idea and reached out to the initial 15 contributors of the first book and asked them would they be willing to go ahead and provide me some of their best homiletic material. And with the proceeds of each book going to feed those who are hungry and clothe the naked. And everyone said yes. They jumped right on board. And so from there, it just became going ahead and starting to lay out the first book, which was Hungry and You Fed Me for Cycle C, which was released in November of 2012 in order to coincide with the liturgical year. And the 15 contributors did a great job. That first issue featured Jim Martin and Richard Rohr, as well as a number of other talented men and women. It's just not Roman Catholics, but across a number of Christian faiths, bringing their material together in order to really feed the spirituality in the souls of the reader, as well as go ahead and feed those who are in need.
Yeah, there's some names here that will certainly be familiar to our readers. Our columnist, Father Dan Horan, of course, Father James Martin, Father Richard Rick Malloy. And then, of course, you have Sister Simone Campbell. And as you said, a fairly ecumenical group here. What was the thinking behind that, to just try to include as many people as possible?
Yeah, what we wanted to do was not just make it a Catholic book, but to go ahead and to reach out to just some great homilies. For instance, there's a Pastor Dave Davis listed in there. He's the pastor of Nassau Presbyterian in Princeton, PhD in homiletics, an incredible, incredible homilist. So I was really just interested in bringing different visions and different faiths together, Christian faiths together, to go ahead and break open the gospel different ways. And again, just reaching out to connecting the dots and reaching out to people who knew people and saying, here's a great homilist. And, Greg Boyle out in L.A. going ahead and giving us some of the material that he has, or Sister Simone. So it was just well received by all the contributors.
Well, as you said, this is a special interest of yours. What did you learn from putting this together about the art of the homily and from some of the best practitioners here?
It's interesting. Everyone has a different style because, editing, reading them all and editing them and taking a look at it, some are extremely short. Deacon Greg Kendra here in the New York area tends to have shorter ones, and you'll have ones that are much longer. I would ask many of them, what approach do you take? And many of them will do the same thing as, they have to pray over it. They have to really live into that gospel and then break it in pieces and see how their spirituality and how it affects them and allows them to then to break it open. And whether they're starting with a joke or whether it's more serious or Jan Richardson with some of her poetry, they all tend to go ahead and touch people different ways.
And how do they read on the page? I mean, do you have to do a little work? I mean, some of them obviously were written to be delivered. How did they come out, as prose?
Right. Some of them were written to be delivered, many of them. To be honest with you, I go ahead and assign out the Sundays and the feast days to the various contributors. The material that comes in, my goal is really not to go ahead and do any rewriting. It's more of a tech editing to kind of just clean up the commas and a period so it reads a little bit easier. But I'm not looking to change their voice. And they're all submitting knowing that it's going to be printed rather than said. although we are now getting quite a few requests of coming out with a CD to see whether we can get the contributors now to go ahead and record their homilies so people can now hear them live rather than just read them.
Now, you obviously have this social justice dimension in that the proceeds are going to, some of the proceeds are going to charities for the homeless. Does that tie in at all into some of the content of these in terms of what people are writing about or preaching about?
Yeah, no, that was that's a good question. And people have asked that. So when we reach out to the contributors, they know what they know where the proceeds are going to, obviously, but we're not asking them to necessarily provide homilies with social justice necessarily in mind. We're asking them to really just take a look at that Sunday reading and to go at it from there. So there's not necessarily a correlation, but certainly many of them touch upon in their homilies.
But obviously, since this is the, you know, the names of the books, Naked and You Clothed Me, Hungry and You Fed Me, and the next one is?
Sick and You Visited Me.
Sick and You Visited Me. So there is, in at least the way you've approached them as an editor, a common sort of an umbrella that they fall under.
Right, they do. And I think if part of that umbrella is the umbrella that we hear Pope Francis talk about, and that is the gospel is about going ahead and dealing with society and clothing the naked and feeding the hungry and visiting those that are sick. So I think that's an overall theme that sits on the Gospels and that certainly comes out in the homilies.
Well, we want to bring in Brother Mickey McGrath here, who is a friend of the magazine for a long time and has obviously done some artwork for us. And you did the cover for both these books. And as we were saying earlier, a lot of people buy the book on the cover. So how did you...
At least that's what I said.
So how did you approach this in terms of, you know, you've got the cover art, but you also have some art for the seasons of the year.
Yeah, and the interiors are black and white drawings. I've always loved that. That kind of started out doing black for America, as a matter of fact, before you went to color. I used to do a lot of black and white illustrations. But when Jim explained what the book was about and what my contribution could be, I loved it. I was on board right away. Because I think of my art, I've come to think of it as preaching. You know, it's my way of... I once heard that St. Alphonsus used to paint paintings once in a while to use as homilies. He was quite gifted. He was a musician as well. But so I thought that was a pretty cool thing because I thought, you know, that's what I do. use art to get the message out there, the joyful message out there.
And obviously the social justice is an important part of your ministry too. I mean, you live in Camden in a city, you know, with difficult economic circumstances. So you live in the middle in the middle of all this. So that must inform your art.
Well, and that was the perfect timing of Jim's invitation to create the art here because it really is a way to help. I'm all about looking for beauty in the unexpected. I mean, you can't be in Camden and not and be an artist in Camden, I should say, and not do that, you know, to look in the brokenness and try to find the beautiful spots. So with this book being so geared towards creating sermons, homilies, I thought that's what I'm doing. And, you know, that is being fed very well by living in Camden.
Well, with this podcast, we'll put up a cover image of this book, Naked and You Clothed Me. Maybe you can speak a little bit about this particular piece of art. Obviously, a picture of Jesus here, and he's holding some clothes.
Yeah, I kind of was thinking of, you know, how when people donate clothes to Goodwill or St. Vincent de Paul or any of these places, you know, you just get these bags of clothes. We have a St. Vincent drop-off box right outside the rectory where I live in Camden, which is very convenient. But so I just thought of, Jesus in this picture kind of rifling through one of these donated clothing baskets, and he's just kind of modeling them.
Well,
shirts and patterns.
Yeah, these are great, and there's some great artwork inside the book, so I encourage people to, a reason to pick up the physical edition of the book. Maybe we'll bring Deacon Nipper back into the conversation. I'm interested, maybe you could talk a bit about the ecumenical aspect here. I mean, did you find a different style in terms of the Catholic preachers versus the others from other Christian communities?
I think some of the other Christian communities have deeper training, actually, in homiletics than the Roman Catholics do. So you will find their homilies a little bit longer because they focus more on the word. You'll find them sometimes more delving into the historical aspect. But there are some extremely talented and rich homilists that aren't necessarily Roman Catholic. I think it's one of the challenges I think we have in the seminary, trying to do some research, taking a look at how many hours of homiletics are offered in seminaries to both deacon and priests. And it seems to average about 30 to 36 hours. And then that's it. for the rest of their life, unless, you know, unless they have a passion like I do and they want to go on for additional training. Sometimes we forget that Christ is present, obviously in the Eucharist, and it's an incredible gift, but Christ is also present in the congregation, and Christ is present in the Word. And hopefully this book will go ahead and open people's eyes to where Christ really is living in the Word.
That's interesting. You get 30, 35 hours. What the quote you read is that you need a million hours to be an expert in something. So that, right. There's a bit of a gap there.
There's a little bit of gap.
So this, you could see this as a resource for those who want to continue their training and kind of their education in homiletics.
Yeah, I think it's a resource for people who are looking to put their homilies together. I think it's a resource. I was just telling Mickey earlier this Sunday, I was asked to go ahead and give a homily and was only given 2 hours notice. You know, it takes 8 to 12 hours to put a good homily together. Mm-hmm. So I picked up the book, and sure enough, my congregation, it was happened to be done by Monsignor Nolan, our retired pastor, and I just said, here's what's happening. So sit back and relax, and you're going to hear some wise words from someone that we love deeply, and pretty much took the homily right out of the book, and the people were fed, they were happy, and, you know, it worked out real well. So, you know, people can use this all kinds of reference material in here. So they can either use the homily, they can use it to go ahead and maybe break open somehow within themselves what that gospel means to them.
Sure. So there, you could use this in small Christian communities, sure, you know, as do. You prepare for the readings.
We've been shipping out a number of books to people who are having small faith communities, and we have people who are using this as their meditation for the week. So as they lead up to the week, they, you know, we quote in here, give you the reference of what the Sunday readings are. They're reading the readings, they're getting the homily, and they're using it as a way of prayer, which is pretty rich.
How are the approaches people take? I mean, some of them trying to kind of hook it into something topical, something in the news, or some of them more timeless. I imagine it varies.
Right. So one of the things we'll do when we look at editing it is, are there pieces in there that are really, you know, they're quoting some event that happened in that period of
that
time.
Week, yeah.
Is that going to carry for a number of years? And for the most part, yeah, it pretty much is. But you'll see most of the authors in here are providing material that is not as time specific as you may be getting up and, you know, a year ago when you had the tragedy in Sandy Hook and it was Gaudete Sunday. You know, how are you going to preach in front of the crowd about this Sunday of joy when you just had a massacre of students? So something that specific may not hit the book, but certainly there may be something in the book where someone's going to pull that out and use it on that Sunday.
You just mentioned 8 to 12 hours. That's interesting to me. I mean, that's a full day's work plus some. How do you come up with that? Is that your own, or you talk to
other
people?
You know, I've talked to a number of people who, this is what they do, they're experts in homiletics, and the golden rule usually is about an hour prep for every minute you're going to talk. So if you're going to put together an 8 to 10-minute homily, you need to prepare 8 to 10 hours. Now, the challenge is, you know, priests and deacons are really busy, but it's a lot of work, but you know, by the time you really break it open, you put it together and you write it all out, and it has a beginning and a middle and an end, and it doesn't have wanderings, and it doesn't have too many sidebars where people, and then people appreciate it because they are, you know, in the Catholic faith, they are coming to receive the Eucharist, but they are coming in to be fed, and they want to hear something that they can walk away with and go, wow, you know, I can go through my next week with that bit of wisdom that I got out of the gospel, or wow, I never looked at the gospel that way. Or, I mean, because you really need to open up the gospel and see, it was written 2,000 years ago. What was going on? And until the homilist can open that up and say, okay, well, what was the context it was being written in? Now bring the context forward. It's just too easy to go ahead and put some piece of fluff together and deliver it to the people. And they hear it as fluff and they go, okay, you know, let me receive Eucharist. I'm going to go home. I did my obligation.
Right.
So it's a lot of work, I think.
But your point that people want to be fed, and that sometimes, you know, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. If you have something profound
right.
that somebody else has said, to share that with them might be
it's
enough.
Tons of resources. You know, Father Bill Bash, who's in our book, has probably written 25 different books of homilies. And he and I have talked. He says, you know, people come up to me and said, I really liked it, but I didn't want to steal it from you. He goes, no, you don't understand. That's what I wrote it for.
Yeah.
If you can't come up with something, go ahead and use it. But,
yeah.
you know, there's some rich resources out there.
Right.
That people don't have to sit there from scratch and just figure out, I got
right.
it all.
Right, exactly. And sometimes as writers and editors, you think, okay, this is my job to come up with something original and
right.
new. But if you know, give people credit right. and say, this is where I got this, and I thought this is a good
yep.
time to share it,
yep.
that's good,
Absolutely.
Too. Yep. Maybe we could draw Brother Mickey in. I'm curious in a way, like as somebody who sits and listens to homilies, and I mean, part of what you do is try to, you know, bring the word to life in these artworks. I just wonder if there's a way that we could be doing a better job of using art in the life of the church and in breaking open scripture.
Yeah, many places. And my mom used to ask me all the time, Jay, where do you get your ideas? I tell people all the time, it's often when I'm hearing bad homilies. I'll be sitting there thinking, that's not the same gospel I just heard, Father. So that's where some of these drawings happen in my head. So yeah, I'm all for more art in the church.
Yeah, because, I mean, historically, that's, you know, if somebody was not necessarily edified by the homily or what was that, you could look around at the stained glass windows.
It should be doing that, yeah.
You're telling your stories. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And some, you know, maybe churches aren't doing as good a job at that as they once did in terms of, putting up contemporary art. Are there places out there that you've been to you think, oh, they're doing a good job of this, of, you know, making art part of the life of the
Absolutely.
Church?
In fact, I was just in Minneapolis for the last 9 days in the Basilica there. It's one of my favorite churches in the entire country. It's a gorgeous church, very Baroque, but they have a space for an art gallery around the side aisles. And there was last year when I was there, they had a beautiful exhibit of very contemporary icons. And so I thought, what a great way to use the actual space. It's not like you go, and plus they have an art gallery in the basement of the church, very nice professional art gallery. So yeah, there are places that, of course, the size of the place lends itself to it. You know, you couldn't do that.
So there are ways that we can continue to break open the word in very different ways.
And I've had a couple commissions now in Philadelphia of pastors who took out the confessionals and created shrines and commissioned paintings of the patron of the parish or some other important figure, you know, saint figure for that church. So that's a way too that some guys are starting to use space that's not used anymore. Let's face it. Mm-hmm. You don't need four confessionals in a church to get away with one in most places.
Well, maybe we can end with Deacon Nipper just talking about, again, the proceeds from this are going to homeless charities. Maybe could you speak more about that and how that's been received?
Sure. So each book that we've come out with, two so far and a third one to come, we've identified four charities. They're local to the Camden, Trenton, Philadelphia area, mainly because I reside nearby. And I want to be charities that I knew something about, that I could touch them, feel them, go to them, visit them. So we hand-selected charities. So, in the latest book, Naked and You Clothe Me, specifically we picked four charities, and we wanted to make sure that we covered men, women, and children. So Bethesda Project that deals with the homeless in Philadelphia, Dress for Success, which is a local charity in Burlington that takes care of helping clothe women who are trying to get a second start in life, Homefront, which is, you know, feeding tons of families in the Camden and Trenton area, and Newborns in Need. I just got an email from the woman, and she just received her latest check from us, and she was just blown away because it was a time that they needed money. They're putting kits together for these babies that are being born who are going to homes that just don't have blankets and clothes for these babies, and the check that we sent made a difference to them. So it really is a blessing to see the difference that we're making for some of these small charities, and the contributors are excited about their work going ahead and helping those in need.
Well, it's a wonderful way to connect our faith life and our personal spiritual reflection and the Word of God with these important social justice initiatives.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, when we post this, we'll post links to all these charities. So people, if they want to donate on their own, can do so. And, of course, links to the book so they can buy it as well. So
thanks very much.
Deacon Jim Nipper and Brother Mickey McGrath, thank you so much.
Thanks. Thank you.